Welcome to the worship service of Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, 1209 North Davis Street, Pea Ridge, Arkansas. We hope this message will provide both meaning and inspiration for your life. Listen now for today's message.
Our call to worship. Give thanks to God, for God is good. We give thanks for God's steadfast love. Give thanks to God, for God's love endures. We give thanks that God is at work among humankind. Give thanks to God, for only God can satisfy us. We give thanks to God for filling our spiritual hunger with so many good things. Amen. Now, our affirmation of faith. We believe in the one God, creator and sustainer of all things, Father of nations, the source of all goodness and beauty, all truth and love. We believe in Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, our teacher, example, and redeemer, the Savior of the world. We believe in the Holy Spirit, God present with us for guidance, for comfort, and for strength. We believe in the forgiveness of sins, in the life of love and prayer, and in grace equal to every need. We believe in the Word of God contained in the Old and New Testaments as the sufficient rule both of faith and of practice. We believe in the Church, those who are united in the living Lord for the purpose of worship and service. We believe in the reign of God as the divine will realized in human society, and in the family of God, where we are all brothers and sisters. We believe in the final triumph of righteousness and in life everlasting. Amen.
Amen.
Our first scripture reading comes from the third chapter of Colossians, verses 1 through 15. Since then you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways, in the life you once lived. But now you must also rid yourselves of such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its Creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, such as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful.
Faith looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine. Now hear me while I pray, take all my guilt away. This day be wholly thine. May thy rich grace impart strength to my fainting heart, my zeal inspire. As thou hast died for me, love to thee, pure, warm, and changeless be, a living fire. When in life's transient dream, when death's cold, sullen stream over me rolls, Savior, then in love, fear and distrust remove. Oh, bear me safe above a ransom soul.
Our scripture reading this morning comes from the 12th chapter of Luke, verses 13 through 21. Someone from the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." "Friend," he said to him, "who appointed me a judge or arbiter over you?" He then told them, "Watch out and be on guard against all greed, because one's life is not in the abundance of his possessions." Then he told them a parable. A rich man's land was very productive. He thought to himself, "What should I do, since I don't have anywhere to store my crops?" "I will do this," he said. "I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones and store up all my grain and my goods there. Then I'll say to myself, 'You have many goods stored up for many years. Take it easy, eat, drink, and enjoy yourself.' But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life is demanded of you, and the things you've prepared, whose will they be?" That's how it is with the one who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. This is the word of God given to us, the people of God, and the world. Thanks be to God. If you would now, join me in prayer. Blessed Lord, who has caused Holy Scripture to be written for our learning, grant that we may hear, read, learn, and inwardly digest them, that through the comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life which you have given us in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray this in his holy and mighty name. Amen. We Methodists have always been known for our good music. Methodists are a singing group of Christians. Back in the 1700s, there was a certain tavern keeper who liked music and thus decided to attend one of John Wesley's meetings in order to hear the singing. He resolved, however, not to listen to the sermon. So he sat with his head down and his fingers in his ears. But when God wants to speak to a person's soul, God has his ways. A fly flew into the man's nose, and when he tried to swat it away, he heard 9 words that changed his life. He heard John Wesley say, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." From that moment on, the tavern keeper became restless. So he returned the next night, listening intently, and was thus converted. Jesus said in the Gospel of Matthew, "What good will it be for a person if he gains the whole world yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a person give in exchange for his soul?" The human soul is a priceless treasure. It is the real you. In fact, the Bible teaches that our souls are more valuable than the entire world. And yet, so many of us sell our souls for what are surely petty bargains. We are more than just material things. The Bible teaches that we are body, soul, and spirit. And we also see that a great price has been paid for the soul, but not in an earthly sense. 1 Peter 1:18 through 19 says, "You know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect." Jesus Christ allowed himself to die on a cross for your soul and for my soul. His death pays the penalty for the sins of those who believe in him by faith. But it is possible for us to neglect and to lose our souls, those things which are truly most valuable. In our epistle lesson that we read earlier, Paul tells us that as Christians, we are to set our minds on things above and not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. We are told to put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to our earthly natures. And one of the first things listed is evil desires and greed, which is idolatry. We are to put to death greed, which is idolatry. How many of us have done that? Especially in our economic times of today, we are encouraged not to waste money. And that's good advice, but I think it also speaks volumes about how so many of us in this world have more money than we know what to do with. And that's the kind of situation that the farmer in our parable for this morning finds himself in. And before we get to that, let's take a look at the setting of Luke chapter 12. Here we find Jesus teaching the multitudes that gathered around him as he made his way toward Jerusalem. In the summary statements about Jesus' words to the crowds that precede our lesson, we find Jesus warning against hypocrisy, promising God's ultimate and revealing judgment, calling for a rightful fear of God and recognition of God's ultimate authority, and promising God's grace and care. As Jesus teaches the people this way, a man from the crowd urges Jesus to settle a dispute that he's having with his brother over an inheritance. But Jesus just refused to get involved, and instead he warned against the consuming destruction of life by the love of money. Jesus refused to become involved in controversy over, quote, things, He shows no interest, and he denounces greed. And then Jesus tells a parable, and it's a strange and challenging story. Many of us find this parable uncomfortable because in America, at least, we are considered wise if we hold on to our surplus and lay it up for the future. It's called financial planning. The other tendency is to use our surplus to acquire more extravagant consumer items. This would be called upgrading. The rich man in the parable, who could count on his amassed fortune and sit back and relax, living well off the interest alone, is the model for American retirement. Jesus shows us this rich man in a very different way that convicts us all. God confronts this man, mocking his efforts to lay up enough to feel secure with the announcement of his impending death. What treasure had he laid up for the future then? There is a danger that Jesus is pointing at which is namely standing before God at the judgment with nothing of lasting value to show for one's life. Having played the world's game and having come out in the bank accounts a winner, the person finds out at the end that he or she has nothing but empty hands, an empty heart, and an empty life. Let's all heed Jesus' timely warning. Through God's grace, this warning allows us to start paying attention to becoming rich toward God. Consider the quality of your relationship with God this morning, if you will. How can you invest more fully in that relationship and the things of eternal value? What assets will you have to reallocate to be rich toward God instead of being a rich fool? One day, a pastor was summoned to the house of a parishioner who was having some financial difficulties, and the pastor counseled him for a while and then stopped. "Let's have a word of prayer, and while I pray, you make a commitment to give 1/10 of your income to the Lord." Considering his income, the man thought to himself, "That won't be difficult. That's only $400 a year, only $8 per week." They prayed, and the man promised to give back 10% to the Lord and to the Lord's work. Years passed, and the man's income greatly increased to over $100,000 a year. He called the pastor once again. "Pastor, I'd like to be released from that 10% that I promised the Lord several years back. A tenth of my income is now over $10,000 a year, and I have some plans for spending that." "That's no problem," the pastor replied. "Let's pray." And as they bowed their heads, the pastor began to pray, "Lord, you know what a problem this increase has been to my brother here. I'm asking you to reduce his income, perhaps back to the original 400, so he'll be able to afford his tithe once again." "Hold it," the parishioner shouted. "That's not quite what I had in mind." In our parable, the rich man used the pronoun "I" 6 times. "My" is used 5 times, and even a "you" is used to refer to himself. His inner conversation was not with God, but with himself. He was spending all his time and energy on himself. What are we spending our time and energy on? Renowned theologian and Church of Scotland minister William Barclay recounted an old story about 3 apprentice devils who were coming from hell to earth to serve their time. They were telling Satan before they left what they proposed to do. One said, "I will tell people that there is no God." And Satan replied, "That will not do, because in their heart of hearts, they know that there is." The second says, "Well, I will tell people that there is no hell." Satan replied, "That is still more hopeless, for even in life they've experienced the remorse of hell." The third says, "I will tell people that there is no hurry." "Go," said Satan, "tell them that, and you will ruin them by the millions." Like the rich fool and many of us, we forget that the days of each of our lives are finite and that time does indeed run out. Remember how Paul called greed idolatry? Indeed, the grip of money on our lives, it can have a power that rightly belongs to God. And the granting of such power to money to that extent that it functions as a god is indeed idolatry. And this, to put it bluntly, is a sin. The Bible's assumption is that money and possessions are spiritual concerns, and they reveal more about an individual than any other aspect of life. Let's consider these words from the New Testament. "But woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort." It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. Any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple. "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you?" Then he will reply, "I tell you the truth. Whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." Another says, "Watch out. Be on guard against all kinds of greed. A person's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." In Methodism, the newly converted truly became new creatures in Christ and took on a new lifestyle of high morals and hard work. And because of this, many persons wanted to hire Methodists. Methodists had the job, and therefore Methodists were getting rich. This really worried John Wesley. He was afraid that wealth and money would come between people and God. And so Wesley came up with his own stewardship plan. It goes like this: gain all you can, save all you can, give all you can. That is the only way to keep from finding out on Judgment Day that one is a rich fool. We've been graced with a lot of resources, but is most of it still in our pockets today? One Sunday, a pastor encouraged his congregation to consider the potential of the church. He told them, "With God's help, we can see the day when this church will go from crawling to walking." And the church replied, "Let the church walk, Pastor. Let the church walk." Then he continued, "And when the church begins to walk, next the church can begin to run." And the people shouted, "Let the church run, Pastor. Let the church run." The pastor continued, "And finally, the church can move from running to flying. Oh, the church can fly. But of course, that's going to take lots of money for that to happen." And the congregation then grew quiet. And then someone from the back mumbled, "Let the church crawl, Pastor. Let the church crawl." It's very sad to see how the love of money is able to cut one short from living life to the fullest possible extent in relationship with God. Let's not be rich fools. We have been entrusted with much, and from those who have been entrusted with much, much will be required. There's so many folks in our community who need to know that God loves them, and that God died in order to purchase their soul. That soul is the most valuable commodity in the world to God. Let's pray this morning. Dear God, you have given us so much, and we do have a love affair with the creature comforts that money can buy us. But we don't want to be in love with money. We want our full loyalty to be you and you alone. Take us, shape us, use us in Jesus' name and for the sake of his glory, we pray as he taught his disciples to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen."
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my hands down.
Thank you for listening to today's message. Pea Ridge United Methodist Church is a home for people of all backgrounds and ages. We rejoice in each new person that comes our way. Our goal is to enable you to make faith in God a vital part of your everyday life by creating an environment where worship is meaningful and uplifting, where teaching from the Bible is relevant to life situations, where friendships are significant and prayer is practiced as a continuing communication with God. Are you looking for a church? Between churches? Perhaps burned out on church? Come give our church a try. We are Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, 1209 North Davis Street in Pea Ridge, Arkansas. Find us on Facebook, and our web address is pearidgeumc.net. Or you can call Pastor Jeremy Gross at 479-553-9585. Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, anchored in the past, moving toward the future, making disciples for Christ along the way.